ESPN Radio presents a First Take, Your Take special town hall hosted by Stephen A. Smith.
Welcome back. Special edition, special First Take, Your Takes town hall edition hosted by yours truly, Stephen A. Smith, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, simulcast on ESPN New. Presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Give us a call at 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. A lot of stuff went on today. And this morning on First Take, I had a straight talk. The definition of a straight talk, as far as I'm concerned, because I had the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota on First Take with yours truly. I interviewed him one-on-one for about 4 or 5 minutes. I wanted you to hear that interview in its entirety because some of the questions that I asked, I didn't have much time with them, but some of the questions that I asked, obviously questions that I thought people were interested in knowing about and hearing from him about, since he was just appointed by the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, to oversee the death of George Floyd, the case involving the death of George Floyd. Former Representative Keith Ellison, Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, on First Take with yours truly, one-on-one, a couple of hours ago. Listen up.
With me right now is the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, Mr. Keith Ellison. Thank you so much, sir, for being on the show. Let's get right to it. The officer, Derek Chauvin, he's been arrested and charged with third-degree manslaughter. Why have not the other three officers been charged as of yet?
Well, before last night, it was not my case. Now that I'm on the case less than 24 hours, we have dug in and we're doing a fresh look at the evidence and the charges. We will be able to go through a fairly quick, and I mean very quick, review. We already know a lot. And so those things may very well change. I don't have anything to announce right here, right now, but people can trust that we will charge everyone who is culpable and blameworthy and who has violated the law with the highest accountability that the law provides for. They can be assured of that.
There are a lot.
That's my pledge and responsibility.
There are a lot of people that have asked why third degree murder charges against Derek Chauvin as opposed to second degree murder. Can you explain why that would be the case?
Well, actually, no, I can't. And the reason why is that when that was charged out, it was not my case. There are provisions in second degree that may. And I have to be somewhat circumspect because, we're still in the investigative stage here, but that may apply. And so I think that I'd ask people for something that I don't even have a right to ask them for, which is a little bit of patience to get through this evidence, because I think that we may end up amending the complaint. I'm not announcing anything now, but that is certainly a possibility and on the table.
Has body cam footage been released to you? Body cam on part of police
some
officers.
Of it.
Has that been released to you?
We're getting it all now. Let me tell you, this morning is when we started engaging that process. We're still working through it. We haven't even had a full briefing by the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension yet. But, those things are scheduled and we're moving forward. I would like to just say, Stephen A., I'm not going to be in a position in the future to comment on the evidence. It's something that a prosecutor cannot ethically do. But I will tell people this, I got good eyesight and I saw what everybody else saw and was disturbed as much as anyone else. And we are committed to bringing justice to this for everyone involved and for the highest level of accountability that we can.
How should people be feeling about the state of Minnesota right now when it comes to law enforcement, when there's an officer that had 18 complaints against them and only 2 saw disciplinary action?
We need reform, brother. We need deep level reform. Our chief of police is dedicated to reform. Madeira Arredondo was the one who fired the 4 officers within 24 hours. Yet, you know, our city has a police federation where, you know, the president essentially operates like an alternative chief who alibis bad behavior all the time, who doesn't want to reform anything. But the reform is coming anyway. I think the chief is committed. He needs some help. There's some city council members committed to it. But it's a long drive to reform. But we are on that direction. But we do. People should feel like it's completely unsatisfactory.
That was the Attorney General Keith Ellison for the state of Minnesota. And by the way, for those of you who may not know, murder two is the intent to kill without premeditation. So you have people wondering why there was a murder two instead of a third degree charge. He basically said to you it wasn't his case. And so that's why he couldn't explain it. And he wouldn't be able to further comment about certain things, because now that he's over the case, it would be inappropriate for him to do so. But he's on the case. And like he said, he's got eyes just like everybody else. And I want to say this, you know, because I am a different kind of person from the standpoint that as a black man, I'm appalled by what I saw. I'm appalled by the things that I have seen as it pertains to the treatment of black individuals by some police officers. It is rare you've heard me use the words police brutality, because I never wanted to castigate the entire law enforcement industry. I am a person who believes that by and large, most officers are good. I know if I get in trouble, I'm dialing 911. So why would I excoriate them and then call them? Clearly, we believe that most of them are going to do their jobs and are committed to protecting and serving as they've sworn an oath to do. And also, let me be very, very clear. It ain't just white officers that are villains. There was an Asian officer there. In the past, there was a black officer that had his arms wrapped around every gun, if I remember correctly. So it's really not about black or white as much as it is about blue in those situations from time to time. And let me also not be negligent in failing to express that there are an abundance of officers, many, many officers, that are appalled by what they saw from that police officer, because it's made their life a living hell. It's castigated them. It's stigmatized them. It's sullied their name, their image, their institution. We get all that. And let me also say that when I'm talking about white people, I'm not talking about all white people. Hell, I'm not even talking about most. Most white people that I know would never condone this. They would never be a part of this. We're human beings. And to show you how deep I go into this spectrum, let me remind y'all, I've told y'all this in the past, my grandmother was white. I don't know anyone who loved me more. And I certainly don't know anyone I loved more outside of my mama. God rest her wonderful soul. It's a tough day. Y'all have been there for me, my listeners, the viewers, family. Today marks the third year anniversary of my mother's death. It hurts to even be here having to talk about this, especially with that on my mind. But that's how important this is, because it has to stop. And it's not going to stop unless we all come together. I have never, nor will I ever, look at white people in general and feel negative thoughts about them. I do everything that I can, exhaust every measure, to judge individuals by their character and their individual actions, as opposed to stigmatizing or paint people with a broad brush, because I hate when people do that to black people. When you see a black person coming to work late all the time, or you see a black person robbing something, or you see a black person raping or killing something, I'm like, that's their ass. Ain't me. I don't want to be stigmatized like that. So why would I do that to white people? But the reason why the words white people need to come out of our mouth today is not because of what the officer did. It's because of what you as white people, as people in this society that make up over 60% of the American population, have the power to do to provoke change. That's why I say white people today, because it can't be done without you. We need you. Those young white protesters that were out there, we need them. The ones that's going to go home to their parents, who have influence and in some cases dominion over most of us in this society, we need them to influence those people. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a registered independent. Most of the time, 99% of the time, I voted Democratic. But there's a couple of Republicans I voted for in my life. Wasn't the last one. But I'm not going to ignore Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, and what he's been trying to do to bring attention to police malfeasance. Regardless of what people may feel, whether it's a Rachel Maddow or a Don Lemon or somebody, I applaud the work they do. Even when I disagree. Because I believe their heart's in the right place and they're striving to be great in providing assistance to American citizens. I also know Sean Hannity just a little bit. I know Mark Levin. I know a lot of people on the left want to sit up there and just destroy them. You ain't getting that from Stephen A. They are diehard conservatives to the core who have their belief that a lot of people agree with and a lot of people don't. But whether you like it or not, we need them. Not for politics. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about doing what they both did over the last few days, which was identify the egregious act on the part of the police officers and to call someone to task for it. We need that. We need to have the ability to separate the politics from humanity, from human decency. And anybody who doesn't exercise that level of human decency that we all should be afforded should be called out for it by all of us. Not by the left, not by the right, by any decent, God-fearing human being. We live in a country today where if you disagree with somebody, you know, you don't want to talk with them. I want to talk with Chris Cuomo, Rachel Maddow, Don Lemon, just as much as I want to talk with Mark Levin and Sean Hannity. I want to talk to Swagoo, Marcus Spears, just as much as I want to talk to Jalen Rose. I want to talk to my man Will Cain. And you damn well better know we usually don't agree. But I know he's a decent dude. I'm on the air with Max Kellerman. Every day, I'll be damned if he don't get on my nerves. One of the best people you can find. Heart's always in the right place. Don't want to hurt nobody. All he wants is for people to be well and to do well. He don't mean anybody any harm. Molly Kerm Rose, heart of gold. Jalen Rose, his school in Detroit, his charter school and the work that he does. Dan Orlovsky makes mistakes. Damian Lillard. Mistakes happen. Apologize. Move on. Good dude. Mike Greenberg. Don't get much better. Scott Van Pelt. You see the job he does on SportsCenter every night. Good dude. I'm on the airwaves right now with you all. You think this would happen? This ain't my radio show. Dave Roberts, the boss of this show. Maybe the greatest champion I've ever had. One of the most exceptional bosses I've ever seen in my life. He made this happen. You know who else did? Some white dude named Norby Williamson, who happens to be phenomenal as an executive in this business. This couldn't happen without him. Connor Schell, second in charge at ESPN, overseeing content and beyond. The work this man has done, Oscar winner. OJ, made in America, 30 for 30. I mean, the list goes on and on. The man is exceptional. Jimmy Pitaro. He runs this company. He's the boss. He don't want Stephen A. on the air. Stephen A. ain't going to be on the air. Dave is black. The other three dudes I mentioned are white. Their souls are in the right place. They're the ones that allowed us to come on First Take this morning for 2 hours and dedicate our program to this issue. They're the ones that allowed me to be on the air for additional 2 hours to do this radio show that ain't even mine. They want to do the right things. Say what you want about Mark Levin and Sean Hannity. They wanted to do the right things when they saw what happened to this officer. Don't talk to me about Don Lemon. Now act like he don't want to do the right thing. Or Chris Cuomo, for that matter. No matter what side you on. We got decent people all over this place. All over America. We come together. We can conquer anything. 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 We can do it if we're committed to doing the right things. Humanity first. First, foremost, and always. Everything comes after. We do that, the world becomes a better place. 888-SAY-ESPN. Ryan, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead.
I'm very disappointed in the fact that you attacked the president and he was protecting his home. I don't understand why you would make it okay to.
Well, let me tell you what I don't understand. Let me tell you what I don't like. Hold on. Let me tell you what I don't like about what you said. I did not attack the president. I attacked what the president said in terms of bringing up vicious dogs. Metaphorically speaking, that's not a good thing. That's all I said. I also brought up Joe Biden and the crime bill in the 90s. I've been very fair, and I didn't engage in politics at all. So don't call up here on a day like this talking about I'm attacking the president just because I said, what are you doing bringing up the words vicious dogs? That conjures up a lot of unpleasant memories, sir. That's all I said. I didn't get into anything else. I didn't say another word about the president. Not another word. And all of this stuff that's going on in the world, that's what you call and bring up. That's all you got. That.
What?
Goodbye. Mark in Houston. You're live with Stephen A.
Hey, Stephen A., I just wanted to call, man. I wanted to call in and say thank you to ESPN. I listened to sports radio all this weekend, and I've heard a lot of the radio personalities, white people, speak about what can they do. And keep doing what you're doing. Keep speaking out, you know what I mean, because this country, and you took the words out of my mouth, basically, but this country, united we stand. That means something. You know, the core principles of this country is united we stand. And Martin Luther King even said in his I Have a Dream speech, little black boys and little white girls holding hands, standing strong. And with these protests and everything, they have the looting and rioting, you know, I don't condone it, but, you know, hey. But I just want to say thank you to ESPN for giving all you guys and women on the radio a platform to speak about this, because this is what we need. I mean, I don't want to call in, and because, I mean, there's a lot of negative calls and people are upset. And I'm angry as a black man, but I just want to say thank you. I mean, because, I mean, I was listening to Myron Metcalf yesterday, and he started crying. And I got emotional, too, because this is what we need to be able to get over and to overcome this. It ain't about, like you said, politics and none of that. It's about humanity. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you, Stephen A. You know, as they say, God bless us. God bless us all. And
thank you.
Thank you, ESPN, for everything. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. John, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on, Stephen A. I'm actually a white officer myself, and I wanted to first off say God bless your mother and for raising such an amazing human being, and I do appreciate all the fantastic words that you are saying today and that I've been hearing recently.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say today is that I am completely embarrassed, I'm appalled, and I feel ashamed. To wear the badge after seeing an officer completely betray what this badge is supposed to stand for. It is supposed to stand for protecting and serving your community. It is about caring about the people of your community, regardless of their race, regardless of their different walks of life. That is what it's about. That's what it's about. It's all about in the end.
Well, let me ask you a question. If I may interject, you said you are a police officer, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In Missouri, correct?
Yes, sir.
You know, can you explain to me and to our listeners, because a lot of them don't understand, why would something like this happen? I mean, when you think about it, it's like the training that a police officer has, you have to know you can't be on a man's neck for 8 minutes that's handcuffed. What two other officers are like, how does that happen?
Yes. Whenever I look at it, without knowing, you know, without obviously being there and being far away from the situation, and looking at the same video that everybody else saw, I really can't explain it. I really can't. There's nothing that I can say to even sort of figure out why this would have happened. The gentleman was cuffed. He should have been brought up from that position. There was no need for that. I don't know. Literally anything else going on around it, but I can't explain. But if I may say that I want the people to know out there that there are a lot of officers like myself that feel the same way as you have stated. And I want to say that just remember to those peaceful protesters that are out there, that remember that there are many officers on the front of these lines in front of you that will, like myself, if I was one of those, I would talk to you. I would kneel with you. I would hold your hand. I would hug you, and I would pray with you, and I would stand with you, because that is how I feel. I feel that change does need to come about in this country, and I couldn't appreciate what you and your callers are saying any more than I do, because I feel that you are 100%. I can't pretend to understand what it's like to be discriminated against. I've never had that, and so I won't pretend to understand the kind of anger that's being felt in this country. All I can do is the best that I can do in my community, and I promise that I'm trying to do that every day. And I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And I think it's appropriate to give you the last word on that particular subject, because the bottom line is that there are police officers out there that are fulfilling their duties and their sworn oath to protect and to serve us. And the fact that a few bad apples have stained y'all is very, very unfortunate. But I don't think it should in any way castigate all of you. I think that would be incredibly grossly unfair. I'm not going to be a party to that. But I will say that the officer that did this and the officers that were there, all of them needed to be arrested, and three of them should have been arrested on at least third degree murder. I appreciate the call so much, sir. Thank you very, very much. 888-SAY-ESPN is 888-729-3776. That was Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Back with more of your calls and more in a minute. It's Stephen A. Special edition of First Take, your take, in sitting in for Jason Fitz right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and simulcast on ESPN News.
This is a First Take, Your Take special town hall hosted by Stephen A. Smith.
You're listening to a First Take, Your Take special town hall hosted by yours truly, Stephen A. Smith. Usually Jason Fitz is sitting here. He's not here today. He was kind enough to give me the airwaves on a day like this. Can't thank him enough for being so courteous and giving me this space to express myself on this particular day. We're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and plus we're simulcast on ESPN News. The show is being presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Give us a call at 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. Walsh from Florida, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'm from Jacksonville. Listen, okay. I was calling about, you know, it's bad that you can look at TV and you see murder on TV and you have people that's still not sensitive to it. And the reason why I say that, you know, looking at the officer and what he did, my dad told me years ago during a riot in Jacksonville in the 60s, he said, son, for every card holder of the Klan, you have at least 100 people that don't pull a card that's in favor of what he do. And the same thing is happening now with police officers. They can kill, murder, they can do anything they want. And you have people that don't wear a uniform. And guess what they feel? The same identical way. So when you see a white person that don't speak up, guess what? It's violence to me. That's all it is. And in Jacksonville, we still going through the same things now, what's going on today.
All right, Walsh, let me ask you this question in the interest of fairness, okay? We just had a police officer from Missouri call in and speak up and speak out. What if more folks stood up and spoke out? What would you say about them? What would they do the opposite of what you just described some people are doing by remaining silent? Would we give them the credit that they deserved and embrace them with the love and respect they deserve for standing up for us?
Speak out. If you see a police officer, the one that was standing there, right? They should have spoke out. They should have told the officer, hey.
Oh, well, Walsh, you know where I'm at, right? I think they should be arrested. Sure. I think the two officers that were sitting on his leg, not the one on his neck, he was arrested for third-degree murder. I think they should be arrested for third-degree murder. And I think the cop that was just standing around keeping patrons at bay, or rather folks at bay, I think that he should be charged as an accessory.
Correct.
I also think, by the way, let me throw out a couple of more things. I think that there should be a czar overseeing all the commissioners throughout this country. You got to remember, the Attorney General for the United States of America, you get that case once people are arrested, prosecuted, that kind of thing. I'm talking about beforehand where the behavioral tendencies are being monitored. Where if an officer has 18 complaints, you don't have to worry about his behind being on the street, still in uniform, enforcing the law when clearly he's been a bit excessive. I think a czar, a national czar is needed. And I think that also it should be implemented that police brutality against unarmed black men specifically, but unarmed people, period. I think that should be classified as a hate crime. And I don't care how powerful the police union is. I think that's something that people should fight on because we're talking about corrupt police officers. If 95% of police officers are law-abiding, God-fearing individuals who honor their vows to protect and serve, it should not be a problem to weed out the bad apples. That's me. Walsh, I appreciate the call. Ramsey, Sacramento, you're live with Stephen A. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for being here. One of my main concerns, and it occurred actually not in this country, but in Israel, not only with race. I'm an African-American man, and I have multiple children that are autistic. One of my sons is nonverbal. And the biggest thought process I have is, say I were to have him in the vehicle with me, and I was to be stopped by an officer. He will not respond to commands. He will not respond to anything that an officer says. So in my mind, not only am I African-American male having fear over this, I got to watch out for my son who will not respond. And what I was speaking to of when this happened, there was a case in Israel with the Palestinians that shot a 32-year-old autistic male over the weekend who ran behind a barricade because he was fearful, and he had the mental capacity of a six-year-old. I mean, I think of that every day. I mean, we've got this, and we also have to educate people, like I said, on the community, the special needs community, because this is the same. They have this less of a voice than we do as African Americans. So we got to tie both in. We've got to tie that in together and try to help everybody. I mean, that, gotcha. And it has nothing to do with race, creed, or color. It has to do with just protecting people.
Understood. Understood. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. Aaliyah, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead.
Dude, you never, yeah, well, you don't have to repeat all that when you're on the show.
Hello.
Hi. Good.
Yes, you're live on the air, ma'am. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. My name is Nalea Carter, and I just wanted to speak on, you know, the whole incident, you know, with the boy dying and him just going for a run, you know. Like, I have a son, and I'm really afraid to, like, send him out in the world. I'm a new mom. You know, I just had my son not too long ago.
Congratulations.
And, you know,
that.
When I was growing up, I was hearing about stories about people, you know, dying and being killed in the street by police officers. You know, as a young kid, you know, like, I was scared to even go to the cops for anything. And I remember in school, like, people were telling me that, you know, like, I was wrong. Like, I was wrong for being black, and that, like, I was bad, you know. They were telling me that, like, you know, I wasn't good enough, and it was just terrible. Like, it was bad, and, you know, it's a modern society now, so I would think that, you know, things would change, but when I look back on the history, it was just in a different form. It never changed. Nothing really got better.
Okay. You're absolutely right. I think that, listen, I'm not going to say nothing's changed, but right now you got people that are older than me talking about these times are reminiscent of the 60s. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Dwayne, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Thank you for letting me call in, sir. I appreciate you. I watch you every day.
Thank you.
One of the things that I've noticed is that everybody wants expediency when these events happen, you know, with this police officer and this group of people. But there are three things that are incumbent in these systems, and I'd like to make that part of the conversation, that protect them. One is their local grievance procedures. Okay, each jurisdiction has some sort of grievance procedures that will allow them to litigate, for lack of a better word, their disciplinary action, whether suspension, demotion, reduction in rank, termination, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is these labor agreements or collective bargaining agreements. Most of these, that it pertains to law enforcement officers, they have what they call a cooling off period that can range anywhere from 2 days to 2 weeks. And I think the 2 weeks is Baltimore is one of those areas that has that. But it allows them to regroup, talk to their legal representatives, talk to their union representatives, and all of those things before they even are required to comply with any investigative procedure or process. And then the last thing, and it comes in line with what you're talking about, this federal hate crime. At the end of the day, if prosecutors fail to file charges against these law enforcement officers for their egregious actions, whether they're captured on camera or not, the system is dead. There's nothing that can be done. They have to file the charges, and we have expectations that they're going to do that, but you go across this country, and historically, these city, state, or county prosecutors will not file charges against these police officers.
Yeah.
That's where the breakdown is, and I hope that you would engage that in the conversations that you continue to have.
Well, there's no question, because they're scared. The police union is so strong. You've got folks in office in cities across America. They're really, really scared to bring the heavy hand down upon the law because their unions are so strong and strident in protecting them. But something has to be done, and I think federalizing hate crimes with police officers and unarmed individuals, I think is a good way to go, because we're talking unarmed, which means that in all likelihood, you're not nearly the threat that they're trying to portray you as being to justify their violence upon you. And I'm talking about a slim minority. The vast majority of police officers don't do this, so it shouldn't be an issue. It shouldn't be an issue. Okay? You should know how to handle yourself in that regard. And oh, by the way, so before I let you go, according to a source of mine, they got some information, did some research. 44 people in Minnesota rendered unconscious by police officers since 2015. That's probably the kind of the part of the reform that Keith Ellison and the chief of police there, have to address. Enough has not been done in Minnesota, and you got that impression listening to Attorney General Keith Ellison earlier this morning on First Take. Thank you so much for your call. I really, really appreciate it. 888-SAY-ESPN. Back with your calls to close out the show in a minute. It's Stephen A. ESPN Radio, ESPN News, ESPN App, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Stephen A. Smith hosts a First Take, Your Take Radio Town Hall.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Also, all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Let's go to Tristan. You're live with Stephen A. Just a few minutes left. What's up, Tristan? Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Stephen A.? I really appreciate you taking my call, and I really appreciate you doing this. I think that whenever you look at social media nowadays, and there is this very large nationalization through social media of public perception, you see all these tweets out there about F-12. You see all these tweets that all cops are pigs. You see all these tweets that all police are bad. And in fact, that's not the case. But the truth is that really doesn't matter if you think about it, because when you have national social media, perception is reality in these cases. And that's why I think whenever you look at what you were talking about, having a national czar, for example, with dealing with different commissioners and different complaints, I think you need to go even broader than that and deal with national standardization of police protocol and police reform.
Well, that's what a national czar addresses. That's what a national czar addresses.
Yeah, but not. You're right, absolutely. On top of that, though, just dealing with protocol, because it doesn't really matter what happens in any region. This is national now. If something happens in Minnesota, people in Florida are going to think that all cops are pigs. When something happens in New York, people in California are going to see that, and that's going to be a bad reflection on their police force, whether or not that's true. And that said, police officers like John that called in earlier, they clearly seem like a great police officer. I have a lot of friends of mine that are police officers that are wonderful to the community, and it's not fair to them. And that's why you need a national system to deal with the police.
Well, listen, Tristan, I got to go, and I appreciate your call, but I understand it's not fair, and a lot of things are not fair. But at least they're alive to highlight that it's not fair, as opposed to unarmed individuals that end up dead. So we have to take that into consideration as well, and we can't ignore that. But I do hear where you're coming from in the interest of fairness. I'm not averse to your point. Thank you for the call. Andrew, real quick, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead.
Yo, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Smith. I'm down here in the South. I'm in Memphis, and I've dealt and seen injustices in my life from as far back as I can remember when it comes to the black communities. I'm a white man. I can never sit here and say I understand what it's like to deal with the injustices. But until we as a people learn to stand together, united, and speak up when there is a wrong being done, there will never be change in this country. Mr. Floyd should still be alive right now. He was murdered. There's no way you can twist it, spin it, or try to fix it to help that cop out. He was wrong. I don't care if it was racial intent or intent, period. He intended on killing that man. He should spend the rest of his life in prison. If I did the same thing, I would be in prison for the rest of my life. And I just want my black brothers and sisters out there to know we're tired of it as well, because we see what's happening, and we are not going to stand idly by anymore.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I couldn't end the show on a better note, because that's the bottom line. We got to stand together and be against things that are against humanity, not just against black people, not just against white people, against humanity. We understand what this is all about. We got to come together to help make the world a better place. That's the message I hope everybody leave with. Peace and love.